Everybody, if you would turn with me to Matthew chapter 20. Matthew chapter 20. For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went into early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. When he had agreed with the laborers for a denarius for the day, he sent them into his vineyard. And he went out about the third hour and saw others standing idle in the marketplace. And to those he said, "You also go into the vineyard, and whatever is right I will give you." And so they went. Again he went out about the sixth and the ninth hour and did the same thing. And about the 11th hour he went out and found others standing around. And he said to them, "Why have you been standing here idle all day? All day long?" They said to him, "Because no one hired us." He said to them, "You go into the vineyard too." When evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his foreman, "Call the laborers and pay them their wages, beginning with the last group to the first." When those hired about the 11th hour came, each one received a denarius. When those hired first came, they thought that they would receive more, but each of them also received a denarius. When they received it, they grumbled at the landowner, saying, "These last men have worked only 1 hour, and you have made them equal to us who have borne the burden and the scorching heat of the day." But he answered and said to one of them, "Friend, I am doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for a denarius? Take what is yours and go, but I wish to give to this last man the same as to you. Is it not lawful for me to do what I wish with what is my own? Or is your eye envious because I am generous?" So the last shall be first, and the first shall be last. As Jesus was about to go up to Jerusalem, he took the 12 disciples aside by themselves, and on the way he said to them, "Behold, we are going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be delivered to the chief priests and scribes, and they will condemn him to death, and will hand him over to the Gentiles to mock and scourge and crucify him, and on the third day he will be raised up." Then the mother of the son of Zebedee came to Jesus with her sons, bowing down and making a request of him. And he said to her, "What do you wish?" She said to him, "Command that in your kingdom these two sons of mine may sit on your right and one on your left." But Jesus answered, "You do not know what you are asking. Are you able to drink the cup that I am about to drink?" They said to him, "We are able." He said to them, "My cup you shall drink. But to sit on my right and my left, this is not mine to give, but it is for those for whom it has been prepared by my Father." And hearing this, the ten became indignant with the two brothers. But Jesus called them to himself and said, "You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great men exercise authority over them. It is not this way among you. But whoever wishes to become great among you shall be your servant, and whoever wishes to be first among you shall be your slave, just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many." As they were leaving Jericho, a large crowd followed him, and two blind men sitting by the road, hearing that Jesus was passing by, cried out, "Lord, have mercy on us, Son of David." The crowd sternly told them to be quiet, but they cried out all the more, "Lord, Son of David, have mercy on us." And Jesus stopped and called them and said, "What do you want me to do for you?" They said to him, "Lord, we want our eyes to be opened." Moved with compassion, Jesus touched their eyes, and immediately they regained their sight and followed him. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for this morning that we can gather here to seek your face. Holy Spirit, would you teach us and guide us through the passage that we just read. I pray that you would speak to our hearts, open up our minds, help us to hear your words, Lord. We thank you and just pray all this in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So just in the last chapter, it finishes with the rich young ruler, and after Jesus shares how difficult it can be to enter the kingdom of heaven, as the rich young ruler, the disciples kind of express, oh, then it's impossible. And then Jesus replies, all things are possible with God. And then the disciples proceed to ask, oh, so what do we get? What do we get for following you? For, you know, leaving our professions and following you? And Jesus tells them, well, you'll be really blessed. You'll be very blessed. But, and he ends with saying, first, last shall be first, first shall be last. Kind of a confusing statement. So now we get to the follow-up to that, and he shares this parable. Parable of the laborers in the vineyard. And he says, the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner. So off the bat, you're like, okay, this parallels to heaven. And some people say this parable talks of, you know, regarding our salvation, but also some talk of regarding just, I guess, what we would expect just after, you know, serving, because there is a reward in heaven, right? And so it addresses that. But regardless, the most important part is it addresses that that God is fair and he is generous, but looks at our hearts. So in this parable, the landowner goes out early in the morning. So already it's kind of a little different, because if we were to parallel this to our salvation, right? It's like once we receive our salvation, like there's some parallels in the sense we, I guess you could say in this, they agree to one denarius, which is one, the price for their work. So they come to agreement, and you could say, okay, well, we've come to agreement with God regarding our salvation. You know, we need to just accept them as our Lord and Savior, confess our sins, and then we receive salvation. But the difference is, after they work, or after they agree to this agreement, they need to work, right? Whereas for us, after we receive our salvation, we don't need to work for it, right? We receive it in grace. We receive it because it is through grace. So anyway, so the laborers come, and they say it's early in the morning, and this is probably around 6 a.m. And then after that, they proceed. They agree for that that payment of one denarius, and then the landowner keeps coming back every few hours, every 3 hours, until at the 11th hour, he comes back, and it's kind of a different response or interaction here, because he realizes people are just standing around. And he says, "Why? Like, what are you guys doing standing around?" And they're like, "Oh, we have nothing to do." And he's like, "Okay, just come." Because the reason he keeps coming out is because there's just so much to do. So in this vineyard that needs to be, I don't know, taken care of and reap, there's just so much to do. And even at the end, when at the 11th hour, so 11th hour later, which would mean there's actually only one more hour of work, right? Even when there's just one more hour of work, there's still so much that needs to be done. And you can parallel that to the arc, not the parable, but the actual kingdom. There's so much to do. There's so much to do, and oftentimes people are just idling, standing around. It's like, hey, what are you doing, right? And when the day is done, the landowner asks the foreman to pay the wages, but he asks them to go from whoever came last, who only worked an hour, whoever worked the least, and then to be paid first. Which in this situation is kind of weird, because I was thinking, oh, why didn't he just go the other way? If he went the other way, like he paid the ones who worked the longest, then they'd be satisfied, and then they go away, and then they pay the next, and they'd be, oh, awesome, they go away. But for whatever reason, the landowner asked the foreman to go the other way. And I guess in this case, it's to reveal, in this parable, it's to reveal the hearts of these laborers. And of course, even as we read this, it's like, oh, it seems so unfair, right? Someone who's been toiling under the heat for 12 hours, and then this person who just worked for 1 hour, and they've just been standing around all day before that, they get paid the same thing. So unfair, on first hand. But then the response that the master has is, friend, I am doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for denarius? Take what is yours and go. So he's saying, hey, and if we parallel this to God, he's saying, hey, God, because he's talking about this right now, it's in response to what the disciples think of what their reward will be. Because they've been asking, oh, what do we get? What do we get? And this one's first will be last, last is first. So he's saying, God is saying to this disciples, I'm going to be very fair. Don't worry about it. I'm going to be very fair. Everyone will get what they deserve. But I'm a generous, generous God. And I give very freely. And so what you might expect in terms of reward might not be actually what happens. And how we can also, we already see this in our lives, right? We've already, you know, accepted Jesus as our personal Lord and Savior. We've given our life, and we make this statement when we get baptized. Say, Lord, I commit my life to you. It all belongs to you. And the gift that we've already received, right, at the price of his son, is something we can't even pay back. So we're already getting something that we don't even deserve, right? Yet, at the same time, we still want things, we still think at times things aren't fair, right? We see someone else get this, like even in the world, you know, someone gets promoted, we don't. We say, God, why? That's so unfair. We become dissatisfied. And in the same instance here, you become basically, even though it's fair, and had the foreman paid in the other way, they would have been all satisfied, right? But because they saw in this way, you see they are envious, they're coveting, they're jealous towards each other. And we need to be careful of this. I mean, we might not respond as obviously because, you know, we're very sophisticated and have high EQ. But you can... We do it in a way that's very subtle. We might make little comments about that person, right? We might, you know, make fun of the person, kind of funny, but, you know, so it's very subtle. So we need to, I think, so that's why I'm saying in the end, is this really about, when we're talking about the labor in the vineyard, is it about just our salvation? Is it about, you know, our works or what we do? It doesn't really matter too much because it's really addressing God's fairness and generosity and addressing what's going on in our heart oftentimes, which is jealousy, entitlement, enviousness. And just as he finishes this parable, then Jesus foretells what's going to happen. And then seemingly... After he basically prophesies very specifically what's going to happen, to be delivered to the chiefs and priests, to be handed over to him, handed over to the Gentiles, then it seems like there's no response from the disciples. They're not shocked. They're just, and I just attribute that to, I guess the Holy Spirit just didn't give him revelation. Right, because earlier Jesus says, "Who am I?" And then Peter, you know, exclaims, "Oh, you're Jesus, you're the Messiah." And Jesus kind of compliments him, "Oh, yes, you've received, you know, revelation." And basically, the disciples, the whole, like everything they see and witness, they don't understand what's going on, right? Even as Jesus resurrects, they still just take it as face value of, oh, awesome, you're alive, you know, you've been resurrected. And it wasn't until later, when the Holy Spirit comes during Pentecost, that they receive revelation of everything. And just on a side note, that's why we need Holy Spirit to understand. We need the revelation. Otherwise, we're just going about our business, you know, Jesus doing amazing things and explaining things, but we just don't understand. And then it's funny because, you know, just as this, he talks about first shall be last, last shall be first, then James and John's mother comes and makes a request, and she requests that her sons could sit at the right and left hand of God. And they obviously, she and the disciples, they just don't understand. They think he's still going to set up a political kingdom where he's ruling politically on earth, right? So she's pretty much after power and authority for her children. It'd be like becoming the vice president. So she's expecting Jesus to be president, and she's like, oh, can my sons be vice president? And Jesus says to them, you don't know what you're asking, but are you able to drink the cup that I am about to drink? Right? He's saying, are you able to go through what I'm about to go through? And they said to him, we are able. But they don't understand. But the funny thing is, Jesus actually does respond like, my cup you shall drink. My cup you shall drink. Because we will, as we have, you know, stepped into this relationship and accepted him as our Lord and Savior, you know, you hear that term, oh, you will all have your own cross to bear. You will fear, you will face persecution as, you know, our lives as Christians, as the salt and light, is in such contrast from the world, right? And he says, you will face it. And maybe this is a prophetic statement because James ends up being the first person to drink that cup. He's the first to die, to be martyred. And you could say John also had to drink the cup in another way, where he had to endure the longest because he wasn't actually martyred, right? But he had to just endure such a long process. But even then, like, we know that Jesus sits at the right hand. So he didn't say, I sit at the right hand. He's like, oh, you guys don't know what you're asking for because that's my position. But he still addresses things in perfect submission, right? He says, but it is for those whom it has been prepared by my Father, still submitting to the Father. And then hearing this, it says the 10 became indignant. Because again, the disciples have no revelation or understanding of what's going on. So the 10 disciples are jealous. Because as when they said, oh, this cup you will drink, you're correct. They think Jesus has offered them, like the two, something very special. But they don't know that actually this cup they will drink applies to the rest of the disciples too. And then this is when Jesus calls them and then explains to them, okay, the Gentiles live in this world where it's all about, you know, authority and power, and that's what you covet, and this is the world you live in, but that's not what the world is about. That's not what I'm about, but the kingdom of heaven. He says, it is not this way among you, but whoever wishes to become great among you shall be your servant, and whoever wishes to be first among you shall be your slave, just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many. This last statement should stumble us. Humble us. We really should humble us because Jesus, the Son of God, God and also God, even he came not to be served, but to serve. The ultimate leader came to be served and not to be served. And for us, as leaders, as people who are put into opportunities for power and authority as well, you're just serving, right? Don't make it about yourself. And that's actually really relieved me of any stress of being with a house church leader, a leader of church. Anytime I'm nervous, you know, I come back to this, right? My role is not to lead and, well, it is to lead, but my role is not to look good or worry about what other people think and try to decide, oh, can I do this or not? My role is just to serve. So even on Monday and Tuesday, actually all the pastors, we received the opportunity from YWAM to go teach this whole week. So I think we teach about 2.5 hours each day. And I was responsible for Monday and Tuesday. And I think this is like probably the first opportunity I've had where to teach in this mode and to teach for so long. So of course, same. These thoughts, oh, can I do it? Can I fill up 2.5 hours? I mean, it's a little different from house church, because house church you sit and everyone talks and you can bounce off of each other. But in this context, it's just me talking, right? And I was getting really nervous. How am I going to fill this up? Wrong attitude already. Because I'm making it about myself. And then just, oh, you know what? It's not about that. I'm here to serve God and serve the YWAM students. And I'm just there to share. And my focus is to just bless them, right? So we're here to not be served, but to serve. And then verse 29, it ends with two blind men. And they're sitting by the road. And we can look to these two blind men, I think, as good examples. Because they want to encounter God. They want to experience God. And they are willing to embarrass themselves. And it says they receive dirty looks from people to encounter God. And they cry out, Lord, have mercy on us, son of David. They're just screaming out, and the crowd is shushing them, right? And then Jesus stopped and said to them, what do you want me to do? And they said to him, Lord, we want our eyes open. Move with compassion, Jesus. Touch their eyes. Immediately they regained their sight and followed them. Well, first, they're willing to embarrass themselves. I have one of the worst, no, I don't want to say worst, but I have a pretty embarrassing physical manifestation when the Holy Spirit comes upon me. I really don't like it. And basically, I kind of fall. I fall on my back, and I kind of roll around, and my legs are kind of going crazy. And my wife calls it the cockroach. She calls it the cockroach. No one likes cockroaches. And I really sometimes feel like, or I tell myself when she says that, she's grieving the Holy Spirit. But anyway, but regardless of that, I still want it. What I mean is, the reason is, despite how embarrassing it is, and even when it's happened many times where I'm on the floor and I can hear people laughing. And then like people are talking. I wouldn't say behind my back, but it's even worse. They're talking in front of me. It's very distracting. And but despite that, I still want to experience God. Despite my embarrassment, I still want to experience God, know that He's real. And you can see this desperation in these blind men too. They're so desperate, regardless of embarrassment, regardless of what people think. They're looking for this encounter with God. And then Jesus asks them, what do you want? And they know exactly what they want. And let that speak to you, because, you know, often people ask, oh, what do you want? And we say, whatever God wants, which is a good answer. But I submit to you, that's a good answer, but it needs to be under the context of when you already know what you want. Jesus, at the Garden of Gethsemane, he knew that he did not want to go through what he was going to go through. He said, let this cup pass. But despite knowing that, then he says, let your will be done. So So we need to know what we want before we can really submit it and offer it, right? If we don't even know what we want, what are we offering when we say, "Oh, let your will be done"? And as a result, Jesus said to them, Jesus just touched their eyes, and immediately they regained their sight, and then the last statement, and followed him. This is such a contrast from last chapter with the rich young ruler, right? Rich young ruler who has so much wealth, so much knowledge, and Jesus speaks to him, teaches him. He says, Jesus, what do I lack? And Jesus tells him what he lacks, and he even invites him to follow. Follow me. Follow me. And then here, the two blind men, they don't even need to be asked to follow. They just have this experience. They stand up and they follow. Such a contrast. And this goes back to the statement, the first shall be last and the last shall be first, right? So I'd like to invite Janelle up. So this statement, first will be last, last shall be first, it's not really trying to explain to you and let you understand that whoever's in first place will be last, and whoever's last place will be first. It's saying in God's kingdom and in his economy, it's not going to be what you expect. Not just to like non-Christians, but even to us, right here, right now, where we have all these perhaps expectations of you know, what we, you know, we think, oh, because I'm serving in all these ministries, or then I'll be extra blessed versus, you know, maybe someone who's serving in one ministry. I don't know. But he's saying, it might not be what you expect. Actually, it's probably not what you're going to expect. But if we go back to this parable of this landowner, it will be fair. God is so fair, and what he's operating out of is generosity. Even this gift that we already have, our salvation, is already a gift that we don't deserve, that we cannot reciprocate and pay the price of. I mean, if we're keeping count, even that alone we can never pay off. And the point is not to make you all scared, you know, like, oh shoot, am I gonna suffer? No. Am I gonna not receive anything? No. Because he's generous. He's saying this to give you peace, right? That he's fair. Whatever you have, whatever you deserve, I will give to you. At the very least, but he's fair. So let's take a moment just to look into our hearts. Do we have any heart of dissatisfaction, of wanting, of comparing to others? And regardless if you feel that or not, just ask the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit in us will reveal to you, will remind you. Because I know it's early in the morning. Maybe our brains aren't fully in action yet. But Holy Spirit can remind you if there's anything in your heart. Whether Holy Spirit's revealed to you, if there's any jealousy or dissatisfaction in your heart, let us respond by submitting that to Jesus. But also let's respond in gratitude with what we do have, all the blessings that we have. And let's finish with responding with our commitment to just follow Him. Let's go straight to our Thursday prayer focuses. Let's just go to the Thursday slide. All right. Let's cover missions. Let's cover Singapore with SPSG and PSAM Kim and Annie. Let's pray for Indonesia and our SP Indonesia ministry with Pastor Salomon and Mimi. Let's cover SP Seoul, the church plant. Let's pray for Eunsung and Janice that that God would also lead other people to join in their vision. Let's pray. Pray for our prayer and healing ministries, IP, Well. IP, our intercessory ministry. The Well, our physical healing, and Cascade, our inner healing ministries. Let's pray for anointing and prep and protection and God's guidance. Lift up our education ministries, Noah's Ark, P. Marion Yiling, SP Youth, P. Nate, and SPU with P. Ricky and Andrew, pray for anointing and for opportunity for the students to encounter God. Pray for our Thursday outreaches, SP Lights, as well as Homey Outreach. Let's pray for God to continue to fill up the team, and the overflow of God's love would just spill out and touch others, that they would go out in power, with boldness as they share and reach out. Thank you. pray for the house churches meeting tonight, Elements and Olympic. Let's pray for just good time of fellowship and worship, and that they would just go deep in their sharing, especially coming from this Sunday with Yvette Isaac, and just the talking about persecution and what we can do. Let's pray the Holy Spirit would be the one to guide and lead the group and discussion. Father God, we thank you. Just as in this parable, that you are so fair and you are so faithful in your promises. And I just pray that what we get from this is not that we can expect to be disappointed or things are unfair, but what we really see is more than your fairness, that you are also very generous, and you always are so generous to us and give so freely, and we don't need to ever compare to others, because we will always get what we need and what we deserve, Lord. And Holy Spirit, just continue to move in us, and just as you called out, your call to us is just to follow you, and that you would be the one to guide us and teach us in every way. And so I just pray, Lord, that today that we could follow you, and your guidance towards us would be so clear that we would see and hear as you work in the midst of our lives. We thank you, Lord. Would you bless our spirit to connect to the Holy Spirit and lead our body and soul. I pray all this in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Have a great day, everyone, and God bless you.